Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God, to begin with in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiprah, and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women, and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was, because the midwives feared God, that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you give us as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be faithful servants, faithful ambassadors for your kingdoms, believers who stand up for right, who stand up for truth, who stand for that which you called us to stand for as the people of God. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of courage and boldness. Help us to boldly stand for you and stand as ambassadors who represent you accurately in every setting. Help us to know, Lord, that we live in a day and time in which the people of God are called and are needed to be bold and courageous and standing up for right, standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion and standing for other kingdom causes. Help us to know, Lord, that that's what we're called to do, and help us to be faithful to do that each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Rick Robertson. Rick is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time.
Father, we come to praise you and to lift high your name today. God, you are our rock, our fortress, our deliverer. You're the one in whom we take refuge. We can run to you. We can cling to you. We can depend on you today. We're so thankful for that. We pray for our listening family. A lot of needs today, Father, as it has been down through the ages. And what a capable God we have to come to, and a God who welcomes us. God, thank you so much for your love for us. And we pray for our listening family that you would meet their needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Rick. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. I want to share an additional passage of Scripture that will help to further introduce that which we'll be talking about in the first segment, and related topic in the second and third as well. But Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 25, tells us these words, a familiar parable and passage. Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you've answered rightly, do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Verses 25 to 37, Luke chapter 10. And I'm wanting to encourage every single listener just to be mindful of how important it is for us as believers to be about our Father's business in both knowing what we're called to do in our culture and in our world, and being about that business each and every day. Now, some important recent developments as it relates to the life issue. The United States Supreme Court has ruled in a life-giving decision in the last couple of days that potentially could save many, many babies, of course, in the state of Texas. But they ruled on an very important case. By a 5-4 vote, the court said Texas's law prohibiting abortions once a medical professional detects a heartbeat will stand. And I want you to keep in mind, too, lots of advocates for killing babies had filed an emergency appeal asking the court to block the enforcement of that law that went into effect just this week. And Chief Justice John Roberts voted with the liberal members of the court to keep abortions going in Texas. The law, SB 8, was passed by the Texas legislature and signed into law by Governor Greg Abbott on May 19th. This is a huge victory for the kingdom of God and the pro-life cause as well. And I ask you to join me in thanking God for this important victory. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to see this victory. And thank you for how that by your grace and mercy, we'll continue to see more victories. Thank you for how that by your grace and mercy, we will see the ending of legalized abortion in our nation and in our world. Guide us as the church in recognizing, Lord, that these are your babies and that we're standing up for what you've called us to stand for, standing for right. Help us to recognize and to note that abortion is never right. It's always wrong, and there's not a right way to do wrong. Help us to know, Lord, that the ending of abortion is so important and that you've called us as your church to help bring that about. Help us to be about your business and faithfully helping to take a stand until this wickedness is eradicated from our land. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I'm going to take a moment to share at least a portion of an article that we wrote. And if you'd like to get a copy, simply email us and for the balance of this first segment. But the article is one that I hope you'll find encouraging and helpful to help you better understand what we as the church are called to do to help stand for the kingdom of God, stand for light and life, and to help stand against the tragedy of abortion. The article is entitled "Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church." In a short, very interesting and powerful story from Exodus 1:15-22, we see two young women with a dilemma who turn it into an opportunity to glorify God and His creation. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 21, it tells us, "Then Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, gave this order to the Hebrew midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, 'When you help the Hebrew women as they give birth, watch as they deliver. If the baby is a boy, kill him. If it is a girl, let her live.' But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives. 'Why have you done this?' he demanded. 'Why have you allowed the boys to live? The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women,' the midwives replied. 'They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time.' So God was good to the midwives, and the Israelites continued to multiply, growing more and more powerful. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own." Again, Exodus 1:15-21. Picture these two women, Shiphrah and Puah, two ordinary women who had the job of being midwives. Their job was helping pregnant women during the delivery and birthing of their babies. Then one eventful day, Pharaoh gives them a strong, very clear order. He directs them to deliberately kill all the Hebrew baby boys when they are born. It does not seem that he gave them any reasons why. They were just told to do it. He simply commanded them to do this. The Word of God tells us very clearly, "But because the midwives feared God, they refused to obey the king's orders. They allowed the boys to live too," Exodus 1:17. Well, in time, the Pharaoh realizes that the baby boys were not dying, so he calls the two midwives and confronts them, asking why they were allowing the baby boys to live. Shiphrah and Puah gave this response: "The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are more vigorous and have their babies so quickly that we cannot get there in time," Exodus 1:19. Well, what did the Pharaoh know about birthing babies? He probably knew little to nothing about the world and business of delivering babies. So God in his sovereignty gave Shiphrah and Puah grace and wisdom enough to outsmart the great Pharaoh. So he ended up having to change his whole strategy in getting rid of the Hebrew baby boys by declaring them to be cast into the Nile River. These two courageous women stand as outstanding role models of bravery for people who follow the Lord for all time, even in a time of crisis, even in a time of crisis like our culture today. These two women courageously stood against the orders of the man who, by the world's thinking, may have been considered the most powerful man in the world at that time. The great king of Egypt, Pharaoh, gave an order, and they deliberately disobeyed that order. Why? Because the midwives feared God, Exodus 1:17. They stood up for what was right without knowing what the outcome would be. That's courage. They chose to honor God more than a human ruler. They put the will of God before the will of men. That is boldly standing for God, his will, and his word. Shiphrah and Puah here in this story teach by example how to stand up for what is right. They're showing us boldly that it is right to stand up for right and stand against wrong. They feared God and knew in their hearts that killing innocent babies was wrong. They didn't even have the Ten Commandments as of yet. Moses around this time was just a baby boy that is born early in Exodus. He's not on the scene as of yet. Well, keep in mind, very important for all of us as believers to be mindful of is this important truth, that pastors, ministers, and believers in the body of Christ today can learn some very powerful lessons from Shiphrah and Puah. We in the church today stand as ambassadors for the kingdom of God, and we are guided and counseled by God's word. Joshua 1, 6, and 7 tells us, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go." Again, Joshua 1, 6, and 7. Today, governments and governmental leaders sadly have told us that it is all right to kill babies in the womb. The government tragically protects and promotes abortion. They tell us that it's a woman's right to choose and that women have reproductive rights. God is looking for Shiphrahs and Puahs today. He's looking for people who fear God and not men. God is looking for believers who obey his word. God is looking for believers who know what his word clearly says about seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, Matthew 6:33, and not murdering, Exodus 20, verse 13. God is looking for believers who will courageously stand up and be counted and stand up for his word and for his babies. Well, what does that mean? What does it mean to stand up for God and stand up for his children? Well, it can mean many things. It can mean that we as God's people will pray for the spirit of boldness for us as believers, so we'll courageously follow the Lord, be disciples, and faithfully make disciples, pray for the ending of abortion in our nation and in the world. Pray for the ministries on the front lines of spreading the gospel and the ministries on the front lines of standing for life as well. There's never a time to apologize for or shrink back from standing on the powerful word of God, or for following the word of God, or for speaking the word of God as well. And for time reasons, I'm going to end there. But again, if you'd like to get a copy of this article, I would encourage you, email us to get a copy of it. The title of the article is Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church. And there is a need for us as believers to look at the role models we have in Shiphrah and Puah, and in our culture, be like them. Stand up for what we know to be right. Be God's vessels through which his will and work can get done. Speak out, stand up, and stand up for what's right, and stand for what is right and lines up with truth. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
Speaking.
Music of Mandisa, God speaking. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. I want to remind you once again, my email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. And for the article that we shared in the first segment entitled Courageous Servants, Cowards, and the Church, if you'd like to get a copy of the article, simply email me at that email address. We'll be glad to share it with you. Again, jparker@afa.net. We are blessed and honored to have with us Maddie Martinez. She's the group's coordinator with the ministry called Embrace Grace. And if you don't know what Embrace Grace is, I would encourage you to take the time. Of course, Maddie will be sharing with us about the ministry, but I would encourage you to take time to go on their website and really learn what they're about. It's a ministry that's doing a very important work in our culture and in our world today. But Maddie, how are you today?
Hi, Pastor Joseph. I'm great. Thank you for asking.
Okay, great to have you on today. And I want to ask if you'll take time now, if you'll further introduce yourself and then take time to tell our listeners more about the work of Embrace Grace before we get into the specifics of what you do with that ministry.
Of course. So I'm Maddie Martinez, and I have been working with Embrace Grace for about 4 years now as a groups coordinator. And what we do as an organization is we inspire and equip churches to reach out to and love on the single and pregnant women, as well as the single moms in their community. And so what we do is we've created a kind of a small group curriculum that churches can use in the walls of their church and reach out to girls who are single and pregnant in their communities, girls who are single moms in their communities, and get them plugged into the church through these small groups that are bringing girls with similar circumstances together and allowing them to find spiritual covering and a spiritual family within the church, but also empower one another and encourage one another through group and discussion of really learning their identity in the Lord and growing together in Christ. And so it's super exciting. We have a curriculum for single and pregnant moms. We have a curriculum for single moms, and we've just launched a curriculum for dads as well. And so I'm talking about women here, but there's a group for the dads who are involved as well. Mm-hmm. So it's super exciting to watch it grow and to watch not just the moms get poured into, but the dads have the opportunity now too.
Okay. And the small groups, and when you use the term small groups, you're referring to like a discipleship group of persons that are coming together to learn more about walking with the Lord during the time of pregnancy.
Exactly.
Okay. All righty. Well, again, we appreciate you taking the time to come on. And again, you're the group's coordinator with Embrace Grace. Well, Maddie, could you tell our listeners your own journey, how you came to be connected to Embrace Grace, and then you'll share more about the specifics of what you do.
Yeah, of course. So I learned about Embrace Grace after my little sister went through Embrace Grace when she was single and pregnant when she was 16. Mm-hmm. And that's how I first learned about it. I got reconnected with Embrace Grace again after I found myself in my own unplanned pregnancy years later. And the difference between how I heard about it and when I got reconnected with it was my sister was 16. She went through Embrace Grace, and it was the perfect fit for her. I was in my early 20s, and I had just graduated from college. I had a really great job, and I knew that I believed that this pregnancy was a mistake and that I needed a second chance. And so without reaching out to anybody in my support system, family and friends, I went straight to an abortion clinic. And I started that process alone. And after I realized I needed somebody to take me to the abortion clinic and pick me up, and it needed to be the same person, I confided in my friend who ultimately couldn't help me. And so I had to confide in one other person, and that was my sister. And when I told her that I needed her help to get to a doctor's appointment, she kind of pressed. And asked for more information of what the doctor's appointment this was. And when I told her it was for an abortion, she was ecstatic and I was not. And I told her that I told her it was for a pregnancy, told her I was pregnant. And then she was ecstatic. And when I told her it was not a regular pregnancy appointment, that I was going to an abortion appointment, everything changed. And she really did try to talk me out of it as best as she could, but I was adamant. And I just told her, you know, this baby will, you know, ruin people's lives. And I just need a second chance. And while she was very upset that this was something I was opting, this was something I was truly considering, she agreed to help me. And my abortion appointment was actually for the very next day. And so there wasn't a lot of time. And what she did was she went straight to Embrace Grace and said, my sister's going to have an abortion. What do I do? And they, you know, gave her, you know, they told her, hey, you know, speak words of life over her, encourage her, tell her that she can be a good mom. And we also have these little bags in the box. It's called a love box, and there's a handwritten letter in there. There's a baby onesie. There's a book, a journal, and a pen. It's just a gift just for her to help her find hope and understand that she's not alone. So my sister got this box from Embrace Grace and brought it to me the night before my abortion procedure. And I was going through this box, and while I loved that she gave me a gift, I was still adamant, and I said, you don't know what I've done. You don't understand, and I have to do this. It's the best thing for everybody. I have to have this abortion. So my sister left, and I stayed with the box, and I read that book inside the box. It's called A Bump in Life, and it's written by the president of Embrace Grace, Amy Ford, and it has about 20 testimonies of girls who were unexpectedly pregnant and chose life for their babies. And whether they chose to parent or place for adoption, it didn't matter. All their stories were in there, and they all had an impact by Embrace Grace, by an Embrace Grace group. And I stayed up all night reading that book, and I did not get a wink of sleep. In fact, when I was done reading the book, shortly after, my alarm went off for me to start getting ready for the day. I went and worked a half day, Pastor Joseph, because I truly believed this was I was going to continue to lead a normal life, and this was just going to be one thing that I was going to, you know, push under the rug and never think about again. Mm-hmm. And so I worked my half day, and outside of my job, when I was done with my half day, my sister was in the car, and she was not happy. She did not want to be there. And it was almost like the weight of the world hit me in that moment. And she said, you're going to have to tell me where to go because I don't even know where this place is at. And I just started crying, and I realized that I didn't want to have an abortion, and that there was hope for me. If there was hope for those girls in the book who were pastors' kids or conceived through rape or were homeless and they chose life for their babies, then I could do the same. And so I abandoned my abortion procedure, and I got connected to the Embrace Grace group. And that's how I got reconnected with Embrace Grace. And from there, my life completely turned around. I really thought, if I'm going to be in this group, I'm going to get everything I can out of it. And through that group, I was able to let go of years of shame and guilt for many things that I had experienced. And that was all through the help of these leaders that I thought were going to be stiff Christian women. Instead, they were amazing and arms wide open, no stones. They were ready to love me and encourage me and my baby. And I started to walk in freedom and walk in my true identity as a daughter of the King and start to see myself through a new lens, and that was worthy and valued and with purpose. At the end of this group, the church threw me a baby shower, and not just me, but every girl in the group, they threw us all this amazing baby shower. And I remember leaving that baby shower feeling overwhelmed with joy. I really didn't even need a personal baby shower at that point, because the the love from the church in that baby shower was so overwhelming. Mm-hmm. But I remember leaving and telling my mom, I feel like those two women who had purchased all those gifts for me that didn't know me, they were complete strangers. They sat me down and washed my feet. Mm-hmm. And this was true humility. This was it. And I'd never felt that before. And it was something I couldn't turn away from and I couldn't run from. This was real. And this was God's grace and God's love for me. And that's when I knew that I would never love people the same and I would never receive the wrong love again. I would never give the wrong love again. And I would love people the way that I felt in that moment. And that was to see people the way that God sees them and to love them the way and honor them the way that God does. And that's the church. That's really what showed me that is what the church is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so from there, my son and I started going to church together. I did give birth to a little boy, and his name is Mateo. He just turned 5. And our life together has been amazing. And if you ask Mateo, where does Jesus live? He'll point at his heart, and he says, he lives in my heart. Mm-hmm. And I've been able to raise him and understand and an understanding of who he is in the Lord. And about a year after Mateo was born, my life changed, and I didn't want any woman to think that abortion was her only option, because after my son was born, I realized that this was the greatest gift I'd ever been given, and that he was worth so much more. And it really started to show me God's love for me, by seeing my child of my own. Mm-hmm. And so I called Embrace Grace and I said, whatever you need, I will do it. I don't ever want any mom to think that abortion is about pro-life or pro-choice. I want them to understand this is about love and that there is support, not just for, you know, saving her baby's life, but for the mom, because my Embrace Grace group leaders are still in my life today. They are still celebrating birthdays with me for Mateo today. They are our support system. And anytime I need any type of help or any type of advice or mentorship, they are there and they're ready to serve and love me like family. So basically, through volunteering through Embrace Grace, and there's several ways to volunteer, but I was making those same love boxes that I received the night before my abortion procedure. Mm-hmm. I volunteered my way into a job because I could not stop talking about Embrace Grace. I could not stop talking about the Lord. My life was changed, and I realized there was passion and purpose in that experience, and that it didn't have to be one that I was ashamed of, that this was one that the Lord was going to use to help set other women free and to give them hope to choose life for their own babies. And so I've been working here now for 4 years as a groups coordinator, really serving leaders and groups across the nation, and helping girls get connected to groups as well.
Mm-hmm. Father, thank you for Maddie. Thank you for her sharing her story, the powerful story that she just shared. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that works so mightily through her and that's working through the ministry of Embrace Grace. Lord, I pray that you would mightily do the work in the heart of every listener that you desire to do, to stir us to recognize that each of us has a part to play to help address the abortion tragedy in our world and help encourage people to choose life and to stand for life and to be vessels through which your work and will can be done. Help us, Lord, to be the church full of love, grace, and compassion that you call us to be, that is reaching out to hurting people, especially to women who find themselves expecting a baby at a tough time, similar to Maddie's story. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Well, Maddie, that's a powerful story. That's a very powerful testimony that you just shared, and quite a journey that the Lord took you on. And so the Lord brought you back to Embrace Grace first as a volunteer, and now it's your work and ministry that you do that you're the group's coordinator, correct?
Yes.
Right. Okay, then. Well, in just a few moments, we're coming up on a break. But on the other side of the break, I'm going to ask if you'll really take time first to pray for listeners, because there may be women listening who are in a similar situation to what you were facing at that difficult time in your life. But also, then I want to ask if you'll share more about the three different kinds of groups that you've shared about that you coordinate as a part of the outreach of Embrace Grace as well. And again, you said your title is Groups Coordinator, correct? All right. And again, I would mention this too. I really want you to tell our listeners more about the concept behind the love box. You know, Maddie, that seems like such a powerful tool that the Holy Spirit can use to do many things, to bless women, to speak to them, both the book and the other items as well. But just the whole idea of blessing women at that time with such a gift as that seemed like such a big, big blessing and a very wise way to minister to women at a tough time in their lives. So again, on the other side of the break, we'll get a chance to share more about that. But again, for every single person listening, I would encourage you, share the website, Maddie, for Embrace Grace.
It's www.embracegrace.com.
Okay, again, say it one more time.
www.embracegrace.com.
All right, hope that every listener will go and learn more about the great work and ministry of Embrace Grace. Our phone guest today is Maddie Martinez. She's the groups coordinator with Embrace Grace. We'll be right back. Music of Planet Shakers with Only Way, a reminder that Jesus Christ is the only way to eternal life, the only way to spend all eternity in heaven with the Lord. Jesus is the only way. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our phone guest today is Maddie Martinez. She's the group's coordinator with a powerful ministry called Embrace Grace. And Maddie, as we begin this segment, and first I want to mention this again. Maddie, you have a powerful testimony. Such a powerful testimony. I hope that you'll just continue to share it often because I think the Holy Spirit can use it to help so, so many people. So please keep right on doing as you're doing, sharing that powerful testimony of how God has brought you on your journey as He has up to this point. So thank you again for sharing. But would you take time now to pray for women who might find themselves in a place similar to where you were when you were considering abortion?
Absolutely. Father God, we just pray right now for the women and the men right now who are fighting themselves in the face of an unplanned pregnancy, God. And I just pray right now over their hearts. I pray that you would soften their hearts to understand that this is a baby and that this is a gift from you, Lord. And we just pray that any worry or fear that is overcome and is the driving force of their decision at this point, that you would bring peace and comfort, that you would show them the miracle that you've given them, that you would give them a glimpse of the future, of the love, of the care that comes with being a parent, and that a baby isn't something to be afraid of, but is something to be excited for. I just pray that if there is a lack of community or a lack of resources, God, that you would put people in their path, that you would put support in their community to come alongside them and show them that they don't have to walk this out alone, that they are not alone, and that you have gone before them and that you have created a way for them and their babies to live amazing lives, God. We pray right now that they would understand that you have great plans for not just them, but their babies too, and that they can trust in you and make a life-affirming decision for their babies and for their families. And I just pray this in your son's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, Maddie, before we get into you sharing about your specific work, you know, I think of earlier in the segment, in the first segment, I was reading about Shipra and Pua in Exodus 1, and there were women God used to help, probably help to save the life of Moses. And I was thinking about, you said your son's name is Mateo?
Yes.
Hmm. You know, that's interesting. Your own sister and the women of Embrace Grace, God used them to help encourage you to choose life. And of course, Mateo, I guess, is such a precious gift to you and to the world as well. So again, you have such a powerful story. Like I said, keep sharing that powerful story. Share your website one more time, please.
It's www.embracegrace.com.
All right. Okay, and share with our listeners again, you coordinate, you're the groups coordinator, the three different kinds of groups that you help to oversee.
Yes, of course. So we have three groups. And when we first started, we had one, and that was Embrace Grace. And that is a group for single and pregnant women. This group is about 12 weeks. And in this 12-week class, the girls are learning about their identity in Christ, their true identity. They are learning about the relationship that Christ wants to have with them, and they're able to walk through each week and kind of conquer something in their life that's been holding them back, and whether that's unforgiveness or believing a lie, women are able to come in this group and together conquer the lies and the chains that are holding them back from living, chasing after the Lord freely and being set free from all of the worldly things that are holding them back. And at the end of that class, the church throws the girls a big baby shower to show them that they are not alone and that they have a spiritual family and a support group right here, a place of belonging in the church that is safe for not just them, but their babies and their families too. So after Embrace Grace, we started to hear more girls saying, oh my goodness, I love this class. We don't want it to be over. What are we going to do next week when we don't meet? Like, when are we going to meet again? So we put together a curriculum called Embrace Life. And Embrace Life is for single moms. They've given birth to their babies. They are in a new season of single motherhood. And in this class, they are able to understand that as a single mom, it doesn't mean that you have to put your life on hold and you can't accomplish everything that you wanted to do and all the goals that you had before you were pregnant, that you can have your dreams and your baby too. And so what we do in this class is we start dreaming again. We say, okay, what were those things that we wanted to do before we had children? And how do we set goals in place and have accountability with each other to chase after those? In addition to that dreaming and that goal setting, we're also talking about how in the Bible, there are many ways that the Lord has given us many tools and plans. The Lord has given us to thrive in life and not just survive. We don't want to just survive as a single mom. We want to thrive. So we talk about time management. We talk about the importance of quiet time and what that entails and feeding yourself through the Word and continuing your relationship with the Lord and how vital that is. We're talking about setting healthy boundaries with family and friends, and we're talking about healthy friendships and healthy dating relationships. We talk about purity and the importance of purity. We're talking about these deep subjects, and what I love about Embrace Life is these moms are ready for it. They are asking real questions. They are not sugarcoating this. They are able to have real conversations, and we are able to answer those questions that they have with biblical backing, and they're able to understand why the Word says what it says and how it helps us and thrive in our relationships, in our parenting, and in everything that we pursue. And so that's Embrace Life, and the girls love it. It's 22 weeks. You can split those up into two classes, but the girls come back and they love it. We also have Embrace Legacy, and that is for dads. And this is where men who are the father of the baby, men who are dating a single mom, men who are, engaged to be married to a single mom. Men can come part and be a part of Embrace Legacy, and they are learning about what legacy is and the power they hold as a man in the kingdom to change everything for not only himself, but this family that he is a part of, this family that he is starting, and not just this family, but for generations to come. He has that power to lead this family and be the head. And so men are learning the truth about who they are, no matter what they've come from, no matter what they're afraid of, no matter what they've experienced, that they have the opportunity to change that and create a new legacy for their families. And so it's so exciting. That's the dad's group, Embrace Legacy. Mm-hmm. So those are the three groups that we have, and we're able to, churches are able to start those in their churches. And really, if they don't have a single parent family ministry, these groups can really help begin serving those single parents in their community and in their church.
Mm. Well, Maddie, would you take time now specifically to pray for the church to see the wisdom behind really pursuing this kind of outreach and getting involved? Would you lift that church up in this regard?
Absolutely. So, Father God, we thank you for the church. We thank you so much that this is a place of belonging for Christians and new believers and non-believers all over the place, God. And we just pray right now for the churches who are desperately seeking ways to bring more of the community, more of the hurt and the broken into their church and give them a place of refuge, of belonging, and of safekeeping, God. We pray that they would hear of Embrace Grace, Embrace Life, and Embrace Legacy and know that this is a great place to begin. We just pray right now for the pastors who don't know how they're going to fit one more thing onto their plate, Lord. We pray that someone in their congregation would come alongside them, whether that is a woman or a man who is passionate about life and passionate about reaching their community, who will say, Pastor, I will help you. This curriculum is already created. I just need to head it off. Can I do this? Can we help each other and help our community? God, we pray that if there is any question that they know, we have a team who is ready to answer those questions. We have a team who is here to support any potential leader of these groups. We have an entire support system here to support their church in getting these groups started. And so we just pray, Lord, that you would allow the word of Embrace Grace, Embrace Life, and Embrace Legacy to spread like wildfire among congregations, among churches, among pastors, God, so that they can see there are ways that we can come alongside these moms, their babies, and their families, and help them continue to make life-affirming decisions from the moment they know that they are pregnant to the moment they understand they're going to be single parents, and that they don't have to do any of this alone, God. And so we just pray right now that with these groups, the church will be the first place these families run to and not the last, out of guilt or out of shame, God, that they would know that there is a place for them of safekeeping and of continuing to grow in you, Lord, in the church, in their community. And so I just pray this in your son's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And our time is just about gone here, Maddie, and we've covered a lot of ground here. If someone's interested in learning more about the love boxes, how would they learn more about what those are and how you all use them? How would they do that?
Yes, they can go to embracegrace.com. They can, they'll find more information on love boxes there. They can also call our offices with any questions they have about love boxes on how to get them in their own hands, to somebody who is abortion-minded or abortion-vulnerable, and to a pregnancy center. Mm-hmm. They can also reach out to us on social media. Mm-hmm. We are on Facebook as Embrace Grace, Inc., and on Instagram also as Embrace Grace, Inc.
All right. All right. Thank you so, so very much, Maddie. And in the last few moments of our broadcast, as usual, if you're listening today and you've never made the all-important step of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, today is a great day to get saved. Today is a great day to commit your heart and your life to the Lord and receive eternal life. Jesus is waiting on you. Would you simply pray this prayer with me as you're listening to this broadcast today? If you want to make that step, or if you sense a need to recommit your heart to the Lord, simply pray this prayer with us if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so very much that you came into this world. You lived, you died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. I repent and turn from all the wrongs I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, in a brand new way, I open my whole heart and life to you. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Become my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you would have me to be. In the Bible, you told us, whoever calls in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you prayed that prayer and received Christ for the first time, we invite you, please get in touch with us. We'd like to share with you some materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or if you want some of the materials to help you to begin to grow and grow stronger in your walk with the Lord, we're glad to share them. Again, jparker@afa.net. Maddie, would you share the website for Embrace Grace one more time, please?
Yes, that's www.embracegrace.com.
All right, Maddie, thank you so much for being with us and sharing about the great work of the ministry of Embrace Grace. I hope our listeners will learn much about it. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Pastor Joseph.
All right, and thank you for being a part of our listening family. Please pray much for Maddie and the ministry of Embrace Grace as they do a great work that's very much needed in our culture and our world today. Again, pray daily for the ministry of Embrace Grace, if you would. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.